Kia ora tātou. Welcome to Te Hōtaka Haukainga, Nau Mai Hara Mai. At the moment, we're out and about today for Haukainga, and we're here at Te Ahu, the Te Ahu Centre in Kaitaia. It's going to be a big day today because we've got a pou that is going to be unveiled, and it's to celebrate within our community the Dalmatian culture here in the far north in Kaitaia. So sit back, relax, and let's check it out.
Tīmatanga kōrero I mōi te haringa mai o te kaiwhi, kai te ture. E tōku atu ke kune no mātou ke mōi a koe I tēnei rā. E tuku whakawhetaitu ki a koe te atu mō ele manaakitanga e taipai mai ke wainu na mātou katoa. Tēnei na mātou e tūru nei ke mōi a koe, rungu te ngākau nui, ngākau nui ana ki tēnei kaupapa, ngākau nui ana ki te tangata, ngākau nui ana ki te whānau. E noho tahi ana mātou, e mahi tahi ana mātou ki te pakaro patahi. O ene mea katoa, whakamaua ki a tīna, tīna, huie, tāiki. Kia ora.
Please stand. Let us put ourselves in the presence of the Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ, the Son of God, came into the world, so that He may gather the scattered children of God. Whatever leads into uniting people among themselves agrees with God's plan. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father also. From this point on, you know Him, you have seen Him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Dearly beloved brothers and sisters, let us pray to God, the Almighty Father, who has revealed to us His glory in Christ, so that He may grant that our life may be conformed to His image. Blessed are you, Lord, source and fountain of every blessing. Be present, we pray, in your mercy to your faithful servants. Bless all the people whom you gather today. And bless this Dalmatian, Croatian pole. And let always remind us of the principle stands for. Help us to work together in peace, so that we may give you glory by our lives. We ask this grace, loving Father, through Christ our Lord. Let this water call to mind our baptism into Christ, who by his death and resurrection has redeemed us. Now let us pray to Christ the prayer himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us pray. May the peace of Christ reign in our hearts. May the word of Christ dwell abundantly within us, so that whatever we do in word and in deed, we may accomplish in the name of the Lord, now and forever. The Lord be with you. And may the Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As I mentioned earlier, most Croatians came from Dalmatia, at the top of the Biokovo mountain range. In front is a typical dwelling made of stone. Dalis were masters in the art of building with stone. which was in abundance. Top left, the pristine blue Adriatic. Ships of all shapes, sizes, plied and still do. The top ship depicts a type of vessel Viking-like. Croats used them to protect themselves against pirates and thieves. Then you have the trading boats. Wine and tackle, tobacco was the most common cargo. Fishing was abundant in the days gone by, hence the fishing boats. Plus the modern ferries that shuttled passengers across the Adriatic to adjacent islands. You may not know, but there are 1,001 islands off the Dalmatian coast. Note the red roofs of the village along the coastline. The steeple and bell tower shown is located in Split, common in lots of Croatian cities. Croatia, mainly Christian, so there we depict it with a monk sitting cross-legged, meditating and playing a guzla. Incidentally, a guzla is a one-string instrument. The string is made of horsehair and the bow is also made of horsehair. Music's part and parcel of life in their homeland. That shows by having a tambourine player playing a branch and choral dancers enjoying folk dances. There are many different dances and costumes depending on what area you live in. We decided to have a New Zealand version. Many of you would have enjoyed watching the choral, be it in Wellington, Hamilton, Auckland, Dargaville, Whangarei or Kai Tai. The time has come. A young man standing on the jetty, gazing across the Adriatic at a steamer coming to pick him up for his journey to New Zealand. As a tradition from his homeland to New Zealand, half a world away, a kuru, a Maori carving, has been added. This signifies the joining of his place of birth and a new place called New Zealand, where he will make a fresh start. In their new environment, they live in a shanda, which is a hut, made of many different materials. Sacks split, opened out, sewn together, a bit like a tent, spread over tea tree frame. Chimneys made of mud. Time passed by, new building material, such as timber slabs and corrugated iron, came to the fore. Chimneys also made of corrugated iron, framed on the outside. You may say, why framed on the outside? Because if you lit a fire, the wood would burn on the inside. Mother and child, sitting, pondering what they had left behind. She says, Zašto sam ostavila moju lijepu domovinu? Why did I leave my lovely homeland? Leaning against the sack, shack, a sieve she would use to help her husband sorting gum from impurities. Note the digger on the hand pump, which reaches down to 10, 12, 14 feet, while his compatriot salvages gum from the bottom of a poto. It's a gum hole. You can imagine wet, muddy work. The two other diggers, one with a spear, locating gum, and the other ready to dig, whatever depth he had to. They bake their own bread and camp ovens. Note the pride in his eyes with his successful bake. The lamb on a spit, a traditional roasting method, especially at functions. On a tea tree spit, turned by hand over hot embers. Today's spit roast on gas doesn't hold a candle to the old method, be it succulents or flavor. Gum diggers were quite innovative. They devised a contraption called a burumina, a hurdy-gurdy, a forerunner to the gum washing plants. Gum bearing soil was shoveled into the drums, copious amounts of water added, then agitated. This separated the gum and the soil, and eureka, success. On the left, a live kauri tree being called, scaled, and gum collected. This was called bled gum, or leek. Incidentally, this was not as valuable as the fossilized variety. The process gum was bagged, a digger is seen sewing up the filled sacks. Then it is weighed. The hand holding the symbol of scales is not only for weighing gum, but expresses the fair-mindedness of the diggers. They were often called squareheads. And the And the reason for that is a square head always gives you a fair deal and expects one in return. The filled sacks were loaded onto a wagon, shipped to Auckland to people such as Rouse and Sheemage. There were buyers and exporters, but we also had one local, Clem Ulina of Sweetwater. Having worked hard, been thrifty and saved, one by one they ventured into other forms of endeavour and employment. Orchards, grape growing, wine making. It may be called Dally Plonk, but is the forerunner of the wine industry we have today. Some winemakers come to mind. Montana, Nobilo, Babbage, Delegate. There are many, many more. Did I hear someone say Mladen Persinkovich of Herikina? Fishing was another occupational option. Many were fishermen in the old country. Prominent names come to mind. Shimunovich, Vela, Jovich, all leaders in their chosen fields. Many started fish shops, fish and chip takeaways, and restaurants. Farming, both dairy and beef, were natural progressions for many. All over New Zealand, Croatian farmers have made their mark and become very successful, mainly through hard work and good work ethic. One name pops up is Taliančić, shortened to Tallies. You've got it, the phrasing works. Racing stables were fancy, like the Vela brothers. The figure at the bottom right hand represents such a lot of folk, the business and intellectual group. Though the early diggers didn't have the time, language, and expertise, their efforts and desires to educate and set examples for their children were paramount and often pushy. We are proud of our forebears for their foresight, sacrifices, and diligence. We now have doctors, lawyers, accountants, teachers, retailers, tradespeople, in fact, every form of vocation you can think of. Croats are very competitive. They love to debate and don't like losing. Many do their bit on committees and are very loyal. Numerous have Queen's birthday honours, a few honoured with knighthoods, others have held mayoral positions. We haven't had a Prime Minister yet, but it won't be long.
What do you think, Shane?
The rugby, soccer, tennis racket and bowl at the bottom right hand signifies the Croatian love for sport. Sport is in their blood. Croatian bloodlines have represented New Zealand in several sports. Let's name a few. Bowls, there's Ankovic, Kostanic, Porsche. In tennis we have Oni Parin, Marina Eragovic. Soccer, Ivan Visilic. Shooting, Greg Jelovic. Incidentally, he has won more medals in the Commonwealth Games than any other New Zealander that's participated. Rugby Union, we have Ivan Vidanovic, also was an AB selector. Mike Brewer, Cooper brothers Matthew and Greg. Anthony Borich, and how could I forget, Sean Patrick. It would be remiss of me not to mention the figure of a Maori lass, Liza Tahi, standing in swamp and water, a kit by her side, collecting gum, digging implements in her hand, and a lovely smile. Quite a few Croatian lads had Maori kotiro, girlfriends. In many cases, they became wahine, wives. For these unions, children came, fine, strong, and very able. A couple of examples, a beauty queen, Mirazasi, was a Petrušević, name changed to better her chances, with Tina Cross. And rugby players such as Percy Ersig, Mike Burgoyne, Fran Obotica, and Kevin Borovich all wore the silver fern with pride. The Maori had a great rapport with the Dallies, family-orientated, communal people, very supportive of each other. Many Maori became fluent in Croatian. The final carving, that of the humble gum digger, a peacow of gum on his back, a bucket hanging from the peacow, gum spear, axe and spade over his left shoulder, wearing Wellington's gum boots, and in his right hand, the treasured billy in which he brewed his tea. As we progressed down the carving, you would have no doubt observed a grapevine and leaves with some succulent grapes. Very few Croatians were without a grapevine in their backyard. The gun digger stands on masonry, synonymous with their building skills. We started with the rocky Biokovo Mountains and finished on a base as solid as a rock. Before I conclude, again, we must pay tribute to our dedicated carver for all that he has done. I can't praise him too much, as his hat won't fit. That is Paul Marshall, soon to be baptized Paolo Marshallovich. It is now my pleasure and present duty to you all to show off our history, carved this time not in stone, but in wood. Naša povijest, which means our history, hvala, which means thank you.
He had to be a nui. Hey tangata, hey tangata, hey tangata. What is the most important thing? It is people. It is people. It is people. I feel very honored to have been able to produce this film and stand here today. And I want to thank everybody that made it possible. The Tiahu Trust, the trustees, the Delhi themselves who put their hands in their pockets and helped me with the resources that I needed to complete this. My carvers, Ronan Kirpa, and my son, Ivan, Ivan, of course, and everybody that helped. Placemakers who transported the Poe with their truck and took very good care of it. Richard Murray, Peter Griff, and all of the boys that put it up, I'm very grateful. Brian Lunovich, that donated and polished a bit of gum in the Pekau. The gum bleed I've had for years, and I was glad to find a good place for it. It's not an easy wood to carve, swamp kauri. It's hard to stabilize, but it had to be swamp. It had to be swamped to justify the gum diggers' efforts, because the gum that they dug was ancient, sometimes as old as that tree itself. My association with the Delhis goes back some time. A fellow called Merv Gaelic and I were pitched together, and he must be here somewhere, or I can't see him. I spent time with the Gaelic family in Auckland, and I was very enchanted with his brother, Ivan, that a lot of you will have known. He died several years ago now, but he was a very talented and a very clever man. And he's a man that I named my son after. But the man I want to talk about here today was Merv's father, Leo Ilich. He came here as a young man and transported, brought his sister here, a bride. Now Merv, I had to ask Merv if I could tell the story about it. And he agreed, as long as I tell the truth. I had to say that artists are like politicians, they're far removed from the truth. We live in a world of fantasy and so it's very difficult.
Talk about the land party.
For an artist to tell the truth. But Leo was a gum digger. He was a farmer. And when I knew him, he was a skipper for the Auckland Seamboat Association. We were running trawlers from the Auckland Viaduct. And Merv and I spent a little time on that trawler. It was just enough to convince us that we were not ever going to be fishermen. But one day I arrived at the Gaelic household and Merv couldn't be found. I blundered into his parents and they were having a discussion, a heated discussion, from which I tried to extract myself from. Mrs. Gaelic was determined that I would listen to what was going on. She said to me, "Do you know what he's done?" I didn't know what Leo had done. I didn't want to know. I wanted to be out of there. But she told me that Leo had been at sea. And she emphasized with a young crew, with a young crew. He'd been at sea in the trawler. And it was rough and it was cold. And I don't know if they were dragging the nets. I don't know if they were trawling. But a rope got caught in the propeller and stalled the engine. Very dangerous situation at sea. Any fisherman will know. And Leo asked for a volunteer to go over the side. Somebody had to cut the rope to get the boat started. There were no volunteers. And so Leo tied a rope around himself and he went over the side with a knife. And when he came to the surface, he was talking Yugoslav and his crew couldn't understand what he was saying. And they pulled him on board and he told them he'd drop the bloody knife. So they gave him another knife. Back he went. And he cut the rope and got the boat on the way and everything was saved. And I stood there and looked at Leo. Leo was a powerful man. He had a lot of mana and a great presence about him. And he looked at me and he said, "Paul, I tell you this for nothing. Never tell a man to do a job you wouldn't do yourself." And I've never forgotten those words. Hearing that brogue of the old bellies is almost a thing of the past now. But that is the resolve that the bellies built the North with. Hard work, a fair deal, as you say, a swear deal, and a powerful investment in the love of family. So what more can you say? You know, yo, the Dellies. The Dellies forever. And that's what makes me so proud to have been able to do this here today. Somebody has said, "You must be proud of it." Thank God, all I can see is faults. All I can see is things I should have done better. I should have done differently. I wonder if anyone will notice. Anyway, it stands. Tēnā koutou. Tēnā koutou. Tēnā koutou, hui hui mai anō tātou katoa.
Thank you, Joe. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Can I first of all acknowledge Father and thank you for the blessing you've brought. Can I acknowledge our members of Parliament, Mike and Shane, who are with us today. Can I acknowledge Harmy and thank you for your speech and Drago for your contribution. I must say, just listening to both of you speaking, you were talking, Drago, about the tenacity of the Dalmatians and Harmy's talking about the spirit of the Maori. I just wondered how the hell us Poms managed to stay on here, quite honestly. part of the challenge. Look, isn't it? It's great to be here, and I just want to say congratulations to all and everybody who's been involved. Mike's here from Te Ahu Centre, and obviously Joe and the team that have made this happen today, and to Paul, who's actually put your hand to this, Paul, my sincere congratulations. What a fantastic tribute to the Dalmatian people of this country and indeed of the Dalmatian people of the world. And I've got to say, just a wonderful depiction of obviously the journey that's happened. And I want to also, if I can, acknowledge my Ruwai connections, because of course I grew up in Ruwai and you can't help when you live in Ruwai but grow up amongst Dalmatians, because if there's two parts, and I know there'll be others who will say I'm wrong, but if there's two parts of New Zealand where Dalmatians have made the community, it's up here in the far north and of course Ruwai and Dargle. And so I just want to acknowledge my connections down there and welcome those who have come from that area and across New Zealand. Can I just say again on behalf of the community, welcome to those of you who are visitors. It's such a fantastic day for us to see that our community can come together to support and to acknowledge and indeed to respect the contribution that is made by one section of its community. And the neat thing about this place is we can actually and do work together. Thank you for inviting me along. Thank you on behalf of the community for the contribution, and thank you for this fabulous.
And welcome to everybody to Te Ati. How's the emotions? It's pretty exciting, isn't it? For me it is anyway, and just wanted to just briefly share about the vision that's brought this, the centre, this place to pass. It's a celebration of the peoples of the North, the history that has brought us to this point. And so we've represented those main peoples of the North with these po in here, with a desire to see them honoured, to see them celebrated. The history of what's taken place in this far north region through hundreds and thousands of years, really, I guess. And particularly this one with the with Croatian Po here. For me, I've got memories of names like Bela, Jelaš, Kosovic, Jelovic, from the 50s and so on, still digging gum, still toiling away. And just wonderful memories of growing up with their children, growing up in a place where community was honoured, people got alongside one another and worked with one another and contributed to the betterment of this far north area. So it's a celebration of our past, but it's also an acknowledgement and a desire for us peoples of the north to move together in a way that converges and makes the best of all that we bring and contribute to this place we call home. And I expect that this home will carry on through the roof as future generations pretty much, you know, build their own component, their own whakapapa, their own history into this place. So it's about the future, but we acknowledge the past. Thank you very much for making this a really special day. Thank you.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. E te pau e tūnei raumahara, te moenga tahitanga o te ukaipō Māori ki ngā tamatāne o Uropi, Ngāi Tarara, e tū, e tū. Dōbra nā. As we learnt when we went to school in Awanui, my first cousin, Stevie Jones, and I, when we realised when we came home from school and only Mrs. Urseg was alone in her shop in her senior years, one of us would distract her and one of us would take a little bit of koha. And her great line was, Māle Māori, ūtariga, ūtariga. To which I would say to my cousin Stevie Jones, we better run. I think that means you're in trouble. She would communicate this to Ned Urseg, our school teacher, her son, who would communicate that to my father and Uncle Darby Jones, and we would go to school with a sore backside. That was before anti-smacking legislation. Your work and of your team is second to none. I salute you as a tohunga toi, a genuine, highly esteemed expert artist. You've done both our Croatian Dalmatian people well, you've done the entire North well with this quality of work. To embrace the heritage of the North, which has been the missionary, the indigenous Māori, and the Tarara Gandika. So it's with a great deal of affection I come here today, and am proud to stand with you as we unveil this tonga of this poem. Paul, this will stand with honour anywhere in the world. The quality of your work and of your team is second to none. I salute you as a tohunga toi, a genuine, highly esteemed expert artist. You've done both our Croatian Dalmatian people well. You've done the entire North well with this quality of work. So, Mr. John Carter, please continue to support as our koromatua, or as our mayor, this centre, Te Ahu. My colleague, Mike Sabin, welcome amongst these of our voters. I was always told by John in Dover, whatever we do in the north, it's so hard to attract resources north of Auckland. It's important that the northern MPs work together. And after having suffered one telling off in Parliament from John for not doing that, I did repay him on the Golden and Goldie team. We played rugby together. That's the emblem on his jacket. His foot was under my boot. But I've never forgotten the importance of us, your representatives, working. Look, I just want to finish up and acknowledge the Kola dancers and point out that Matty Radich, a local councillor, in 1971-72, revived it amongst the young people of Kaitaia. Sandra Lee, Sandra Murray, Joe Murray's daughter, was my partner. As you know, Joe and his wahine produced beautiful children of the mix of the Māori and the Dali, and I want to acknowledge you today here, Maddie. You enabled us to learn before we all got sent off to St. Stephen's School. Spent all our time arguing with the Tūhoes and the Ngāti Porou that we were the proud descendants of the Tarawa. So without further ado, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, kia ora koutou.
Joe, can I just acknowledge you for your leadership this evening, or this afternoon as it is. Mike Metcalf, thank you for what you've done with your leadership with the Te Ahu Centre. And for all of those involved, and I see Mark Osborne here, who was here and led this project, which is now something iconic actually for not just the far north, but actually for New Zealand. And I just want to acknowledge those who have contributed over a long period of time to bring this vision to a reality. And today is a very special day because that vision continues to be added to. So I can just thank you all for what you have done. Just acknowledge, worship the Mayor John Carter, my parliamentary colleague Shane Jones. I'm going to steal a little bit of his thunder here because I once heard him say, actually about forging that history and giving us that sense of identity. And as a young nation, I think that's so important that we actually cherish these moments and that we take time to reflect on these moments, because as a young country, we have contributed so much to the world that we are now a part of. But there's a long way to go. And so I think as a nation, we can be very proud. I think in the far north, we can be very proud of the Dalmatian and Croatian links and as John Carter rightly pointed out, down on the Dargan Railway Way, also absolutely forged the communities and became so much a part of the identity and the ruggedness of being a Northlander and someone from this part of the world. So I just want to reflect on that, that it's actually quite a special day to celebrate that melding of nations as we see. I actually noticed this fellow here looks a lot like Dave Junovich actually. Did you model for that one? I'm pretty sure that's you. That's an identical profile there. But lastly, can I just hope that you all have a wonderful evening, and days like today, they come and they go, but actually this will be an icon and something forever, as is this building. And let's cherish this and be very proud of this, because I think, this is an iconic and very special piece of building, you know, something that is tangible. But actually the spirit, the wairua that it reflects is actually something far more powerful. So I just want you all to celebrate in today and have a good evening this evening. And can I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a safe and restful summer period. and let's hope that the rain just keeps on trickling down every couple of weeks. It'll be fabulous. Thank you very much, Charles.
What a marvellous sculpture and a great work of art. This sculpture will certainly let the people of New Zealand know that it was our people that all those years ago came and left this lasting, recognised legacy of their hard work, persistence and stickability in the gum fields of the Northland. On behalf of the Waikato Cultural Society, I'd like to congratulate the Dalmatian Club of Kaitaia for their foresight and effort to undertake this project, and all the people involved in this project to leave this lasting monument for all New Zealanders to share. A great effort. Vala. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests. On behalf of the Croatian Cultural Society, I would like to warmly commend Paul Marshall, the Dalmatian, Kaitaia Dalmatian Club, to Up Te Ahu Trust on a wonderful and fitting tribute to our people. Well done, very well done. The far north has been the beginning of many a journey from Croatian immigrants. I myself am the product of one, born up in just down the road here in 1971. And from here, many have travelled throughout the country, and I believe our people have enriched New Zealand in so many ways. And in turn, I'm grateful that many of our forebears made the sacrifice to come to foreign land with a foreign language, lay down new roots, and try to offer a better life to their children. And I believe that we have given to New Zealand, and in return we've received much, and for that we are eternally grateful. So to all that are involved and have been involved in this, congratulations and well done. Thank you.
The one thing is, the forebears are no longer with us. The gum diggers, they're all gone, but the legacy will live on. Previously you've spoken about many things, but courage is something they did not lack. The courage to leave their homeland, their old country. The courage to come all this way, and for many of them, to never return. So they made this new country their homeland, and they carried out with hard work and diligence and strong families to achieve many things. And that was a good life and a better life. I think this Ho acknowledges the better life and the hard work of the Dalmatians. And that's a great work ethic to have, and I think that it is shown in the poem. Congratulations, it's better than I ever thought it would be, and I'm certainly proud to be part of this. Just the gum digging and the gum holes, I must acknowledge, the gum diggers left the holes in the ground. Now you're probably wondering, what happened to those holes? Well, I spent 15 years of my life filling them in. So we bought some swamp farmland that had gum holes all through it. So the gum diggers dug the holes, the Dalmatians contributed to that, and I spent 15 years filling them in, and what a job that was. So anyway, I must acknowledge my father, he's 94 years old, who started the proceedings off, Tony, Dad, and he's the matriarch of our family, and he's one of the few remaining Dalmatians that came over from back in the 1930s. Well done, Dad, that you've got this far. And with that, once again, thank you, President Joe, thank you to the Kaitaia Dalmatians to have the wisdom and the courage to do what you've done. Thank you.
Dobro dan. Good afternoon to you all. My name's Elaine Liffick. I'm the president of the Dargaville Dalmatian Club. On behalf of the Dargaville Dalmatian Club, our tenderest event is a privilege to be playing for you tonight. As a small country club, we are proud to be invited and be a part of this Po and the unveiling of the Dalmatian Croatian Po, donated by the Te Ahu tribe. I'd like to congratulate all cultures here today on this great occasion. Thank you very much. Bala.